they figured out a way to make you tip when you go through the drive-thru. Doesn't matter if you're going to pick up your coffee or fast food. And I got to say, it's kind of brilliant, and I'm shocked that nobody figured it out before.
What's the plan?
So if I've seen it at a couple different places right now. They put out two tip jars, and on one they write Amber Heard, and on the other they write Johnny Depp. So you tip in who you're voting for. And I've noticed that like they're overflowing with dollar bills because people, everybody's got an opinion.
Yeah, I've seen this on different subjects too. Pete and Kanye, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like if you have a battle, some sort of battle, people inherently want to choose sides. It could be something mundane or something that people are passionate about. I mean, most people I don't even think are watching this trial, but they're just seeing the headlines. But they see it, and when they drive through, they're like, you know what? I'm going to take my bad mood out on this person right now by putting my dollar on the other one.
And you know who's really winning? The cashier that's making all the tips.
Right.
All right, so let's play. You're at the drive-thru.
Yeah.
Where do you put your dollar?
Oh, who gets my dollar?
Yeah.
Oh, I love this. Go ahead.
You brought it up already, so let's start with Kanye West versus Pete Davidson. Who gets your dollar?
Pete Davidson. He's just nicer.
He is.
Kanye, listen, I'm not really all that mad at Kanye. To be serious, Kanye needs some assistance. Mm-hmm. He needs to be consistent, and he has to, like, you know, manage his stuff. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when he gets a little bit wild, he scares me.
Kanye West versus Taylor Swift, who's getting your dollar.
Taylor Swift.
I know.
You know, I wasn't Team Taylor before, but I've grown to be.
Angelina or Jennifer?
Definitely Jennifer. Angelina is just a she-devil. I mean, she's gorgeous, and she's very talented. But I don't trust her.
She swooped in and stole her man.
You know what? I mean, she plays a lot of villains, and she plays them really well. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because she's a little bit of a villain.
Cardi B versus Nicki Minaj. That was a big feud.
Oh, that's tough. Remember? I like them both.
Wait, who threw the shoe at who? Cardi threw the shoe at Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, I think so. But Nicki said this, this, and this before that. And then the boyfriends. And I like both of them. I don't know. I can't choose. Nobody gets my dollar this time.
No one.
I abstain.
Martha Stewart versus Gwyneth Paltrow.
You know how hot I am for Martha Stewart.
Which is weird. Like, she's older. You know that, right? She's like your grandmother.
No. She's definitely not like my grandmother.
Okay. We're going to leave it at that. Paris Hilton versus Lindsay Lohan. Old school.
Lindsay's come a long way. So is Paris, though.
They both grew up.
Yeah.
They're like friends now. But back then, I was very much Team Lindsay Lohan. And now I look back and I'm not sure if that was the right decision.
No.
All right. One more. McDonald's versus Burger King.
Oh, God. You know what? It seems so obvious at first, but the Whopper is the best fast food hamburger, I think. But McDonald's, I mean, I can't. Two cheeseburger with French fries and a medium fountain Coke. I mean, I'm in heaven. That's the meal I want before I die.
All right. Well, let's put that dollar in there then, if that's your death row meal.
I mean, I've never been convicted.
He's the keeper of the castle.
He didn't weed whack the lawn all summer.
He's a caring dog dad.
The dog hasn't been out since 2 o'clock.
He's the romance king.
We haven't been on a date in 6 months.
It's time for Raven's report card.
Every week we check in with Raven's wife, Alicia, to see how he's been behaving as a husband.
Oh, gosh, and I'm running around like a maniac trying to get ready for vacation.
No, I know. Both of us. It's insanity. Last minute stuff. I haven't even taken a piece of clothing out of my drawer, and I have to be on a flight tomorrow. I don't know.
Does your husband help?
No.
Yeah, same. He went to the movie. You know what he did?
What?
He went to the movies last night. He went to the movies. Well, I'm trying to get the house ready and the pets ready and my ready. He went to the movies.
Here's the thing, Anna, Top Gun is out. Perfect time for an ejection seat is when my wife is getting stressy doing the packing and all that nonsense.
You abandoned her.
I mean, I already loaded
totally
up my suitcase.
Me.
It's all set.
Because that's all that needs to be done is, you know, just throw some swim shorts in a suitcase and we're ready to go, right?
That's what I call vacation.
Mm-hmm. My husband has one job, to go in the attic and get the luggage, because I don't like going up there.
Oh.
I've got the one where you got to like twist it, you know, like what's it called? The pull down one?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's scary up there.
You know what he did? He went up there and he got his suitcase and left mine up there.
Why would you do that, Raven?
Well, the truth is I never know how many suitcases she needs. It's usually...
So you bring them all.
It's, well, come on. I mean, you have a lot, frankly, at this point. And so, you know, and she always ends up taking some space in mine, too. So I figured, what's the difference, right?
I have two suitcases and a carry-on. You could have brought mine down, too, buddy.
She's making me carry a backpack that's got her stuff in it, too. She's also carrying a backpack or a beach bag. I mean, it sounds excessive, right? Two suitcases, spill over into my suitcase, two carry-on. Sounds kind of crazy.
We have extra things this time because of, you know, the ceremony we're having on the beach. We have extra stuff. It's not normal stuff that we would pack. God forbid, knock on wood, we lost our luggage. I need that stuff to be in the carry-on.
What happened with his rib?
Oh, he was acting like he's 20 years younger than he really is, and he hurt himself.
He thinks that you don't believe him, that he's actually injured.
I mean, I believe he's injured. I just don't feel bad for him. He did it to himself, and there's a lot to be done, so... you know, we're supposed to jet ski and we usually zip line on vacation. And he's like, I'm not going to be able to do anything. And I'm like, this sounds so exciting.
I would have left the pool closed till we got back. It was her insistence. She was like, it's got to be open.
The pool was about an hour of his time taking the cover off. Other than that, you turn the hose on and you shut it off.
Oh, my gosh.
A few times a day.
It's like you weren't even present. No mercy whatsoever.
You went to the movies. You went to the movies while I was having a panic attack.
Okay, that seems fair. I get it. I feel like this isn't going to go well for you, Raven, going into a vacation where you're doing a vow renewal for your 10-year wedding anniversary.
That seems counterproductive for her gift, doesn't it?
So what kind of grade would you like to give Raven this week?
I really, really, really want to give him an F, Anna, but he has taken me on a beautiful vacation, so we're going to have to settle for a C. He shouldn't have went to the movies.
Fair enough.
For cracked rib.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What drives you nuts? Whenever somebody does it or posts about it online, you just roll your eyes. You're like, are you kidding me? That's all I need to know about you. 1-800-330-9999. Hey, it's Anna and Raven.
When you leave your garage sale signs out or your yard sale signs out, when does it become litter?
Good point.
Right. If it stays out there forever, you're right. And you know what? The better the sign is, the more time I'll give you. But if you've got a ratty sign with terrible bubble letters, you better get out there and clean that up right after it's over.
And not for nothing, but if you leave that sign up and I'm sitting in your driveway, you can't kick me off your property. You're basically inviting me in.
Right? I'm going to come in and buy your couch now. Sorry, it wasn't in the yard sale, but apparently something is.
I want you to aggressively negotiate for that.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. That's all I need to know about you.
If you're my neighbor and I wave to say hello to you and you ignore me, that's all I need to know about you.
Oh, we've got that neighborhood, too. Everybody waves in our neighborhood. And if you're not a waver, non-wavers get run out of the neighborhood.
Oh, really?
Or we all talk about you. Mm. Right? So we've got a couple non-wavers. Mm-hmm. And they'll non-wave, let's say, by example, if they're passing just you. Oh, but if they see a group of you, oh, they're going to wave. So they're like, you know, they're cowards, basically. Right. I saw that yesterday when I was on my walk. Then if you're new, sometimes you'll, like, not wave. Because, you know, they'll be like, oh, my God, why does everybody wave here? But, like, let's say you're a young couple and you just moved in. Oh, your parents, when they're helping you, they definitely wave.
I do the generic, hey, how are you? Hey, how are you? And then I don't actually expect a response. I just expect, like, a nod to address that I have spoken and that we have addressed each other.
In my neighborhood, a couple of the ladies that go for their walks, if you get within their zone whatsoever during that walk, oh, they're going to walk with you.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Well, they will just pick up and walk with you.
I don't know if I want that.
Yeah, no, it's like watching the postal team run the Tour de France.
Oh.
They're all around, right? People moving in and out. It's crazy.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. That's all I need to know about you.
If you use your kids as an excuse that you can't go out anymore with your friends, that's all I need to know about you.
Oh, that's always so tough. I've had this conversation so many times throughout the years. I just find that when you have kids, your priorities shift and your life becomes, well, it's not yours anymore. So I do understand that excuse, but I do also understand trying to make time as best you can.
Your friends were there before, you know, so I don't know.
Until you have kids and then you'll understand, which is the last thing you want to hear right now because people hate when you say that.
And Raven, that's all I need to know about you.
All right, yeah, if you wear socks with your sandals, that's all I need to know about you.
The only time when this is acceptable is when I'm taking the trash out.
Yes.
Or I'm walking something out on my back patio.
Agreed.
Right? Okay, because then the flip-flops are there. Those are easy on and off. And I don't rock slippers.
Yeah.
So that's what I do. And in the house, I'm a sock guy. But never, you know, I wouldn't be going out like that.
Like, and I don't understand why people still do that. Like, why, are your toes so funky you just don't want people to see them? Is that the reason?
Could be. If I knew somebody like that, I'd tell them to keep them on.
1-800-330-9999. You could always call or text. What is that one thing that drives you crazy? Oh, she saw it. and I didn't know how she was going to react, and I was dreading the moment, and it happened.
And then, did she act like it was really no big deal, and now you're still carrying around the thought thinking that your mother's view of you has lowered?
No.
Or no.
Here's the thing. Okay. Despite the fact that I am a 40-year-old married mother of two, I am still scared to tell my parents things. Like, I was thinking about this the other day. It's like, I don't know if it's because I'm a child of immigrants. Because all my friends that have American parents don't have the fear like I have of my Italian parents.
Really?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, people are like, have these open, like, relationships with their parents. Every time I have to do something, I'm still scared to tell my mom and my dad. So I got my first tattoo when I was young, but I hid them from my parents. I hid them until I was pregnant with my first child at 28 years old. That's when my mom learned that I had a tattoo, because she was with me at a doctor's appointment and I could see her seething in the corner.
Right. I mean, it's not even like you had the choice to reveal it at that point. You almost forgot. You were like, you know, distracted by a baby and all that stuff, a growing life.
That's not even true, Raven. I feared that she would see it that day. And it happened.
So you knew. You knew that, she could see the tattoo. Like, I would feel like you had it for so long, you'd forget you have it. And you're like, what is she looking
at? Oh, no. I knew it. I could feel the eyes. It's disgusting, Anna. When did you get that? When did you get that, Anna? But anyway, like, I like tattoos. So I had gotten a new tattoo for Mother's Day. If you ever saw me, I don't look like I have tattoos because they're all hidden. And they're all hidden because I can never show my parents.
You don't look like a biker chick. All right, I see. Okay. So, I mean, the new tattoo is tiny. I mean, you had one redone, but the newest one is like, it's like the size of your thumbnail. It's tiny.
So my best friend Danielle and I got matching barbed wire tattoos. It's really small, like Raven said, and it's like on the inside of my foot. So I was wearing flip-flops the other day, and like the panic, because I'm like, she's going to see it, and she's going to say it's stupid. Like, she's just going to, and like, I was like, I got to get this over with. So I just put my foot where I knew she was going to notice it. Anna, what is that disgusting thing on your foot?
Oh, my gosh.
Anna. And I was like, Ma, me and Danielle, then you go back to being 15 years old, you know? Me and Danielle got best friend tattoos.
Right.
And she's like, that is the last one I ever want to see on your body. And I was like, all right. Ma. Like, I promise I'm never getting another tattoo again. And I mean it, because like, I hate disappointing them, even to this day.
I mean, I how can it still be that much of a disappointment? You know what?
Forget it. Anyways, what it's like to have Italian parents.
I mean, I guess not.
I'm going away with my husband this weekend. And when I had to tell them that we were going away without the kids, why you got to leave your kids? You don't love your kids? We didn't leave you when you were little. How do you think that makes them feel? You go on vacation without them?
Maybe they should have.
Did you ever have that where you're afraid to tell your parents something?
Oh, yeah.
What happened, Sean?
You know, it was actually my first year of college. I finished my first year and I didn't want to go back. I hated it. And I was dreading telling my parents. I was like, they're going to like think I'm a failure. They're going to hate me for it. I don't want them to think I'm some dropout. And I, like, for a month, I put it off.
Yeah.
For a month, I put it off.
That's a big one.
I could
understand that.
She was like, you getting ready to go back? I'm like, yeah, about that.
And what
we need
she,
to talk.
What did she say?
She was actually very understanding. She just said, if you're not going to do that, then you need to work full time.
She was understanding, but she was like, that's it.
Yep.
She's like, the allowance is over.
Clearly, she's not from Sete France, because I would have been out on the street. Yeah.
Until they needed you to babysit.
Right.
Then you would have been right back in the circle.
You know, it's an interesting topic. I got a new tattoo and still hid it from my mom like I was a teenager or something like that. Because I still get scared and embarrassed every time I get something like that because she disapproves.
You know, most of the stuff that goes on in my life I share with my parents without, you know, any sort of apprehension. But, you know, obviously smoking, not a great habit, right? So hiding that from my mother, the time that my mom found out that I was a smoker was right after I got hit by a truck.
What?
Yeah. Until then, she had never known or was exposed to that information whatsoever. And when you get hit by a truck and you finally make it home, like, you just put your feet up and relax. And it was at that moment that I threw one in my mouth and she was like, well, what's this? And then, of course, a lot of people don't want to tell their families when they're getting a divorce or anything like that. Mm. But my mom hated my first wife, so she didn't care at all. She was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah. Wait a minute. You got hit by a truck and never told me? I feel like that's a conversation we would have had at some point over the last decade.
Oh, yeah. Remember on my motorcycle, I got hit by a truck.
That's right. Yeah. Like, it's normal. Hi, it's Yana and Raven. Is there anything that even as an adult you're embarrassed or scared to tell your parents?
Okay, so I was 31 when I got married. So a few days before I got married, married, my mother said to me, should we have the talk? Do we need to have the talk? And while I missed the opportunity of seeing her really uncomfortable, I couldn't at 31 listen to the talk. So I never told my mother that I didn't need the talk at 31 years old.
Wow. Well, you had her, she had to prepare you for your wedding night.
Right, right. No, Mom, I'm all set. I've seen some movies.
I'm prepared, Anna.
I've seen some movies, right.
Tana and Raven, what are you still embarrassed or scared to tell your parents?
That I got back with my ex-wife. Yeah, they're going to freak out.
This is why you can't talk to people about your breakups for like a while.
Yeah, but if you're divorced.
But then what happens is whenever you bring it up to them, they go, well, why didn't you tell me?
Mm.
Because I was working it out. And if I showed up here and immediately started bad-mouthing them to you, then you wouldn't forgive them either.
But how are you going to tell? You're not going to tell your mom and dad that you got divorced. You got to tell them that. But getting back together, I can see where that's going to pose a little bit of a problem. Do they, like, can't stand her now?
Yeah, they don't like it. It was pretty bad. It got pretty bad. My sisters don't like her either. So,
oh, good.
The sisters always don't like them. That's just the way it is, right? But parents, sometimes they like them more than they like you.
Like my family.
Right.
My mom and dad tell me all the time that they love Paul a lot. And then they kind of look at me through side eye. I'm like, okay.
We'll keep him. He's so useful.
He can carry so many things up and down the stairs.
He's tall enough to change light bulbs. He's all that we need.
Mm-hmm. Tana and Raven, what are you still embarrassed to tell your parents?
Back in 2020, I told my parents that I got laid off just because of pandemic layoffs and lost my job. But what they don't actually know is I was completely fired. It was just a bad scenario. Me and my boss, we didn't get along. And finally, I just went off on her and they fired me on the spot. So they still to this day just think I lost my job because of the pandemic.
Yeah, I'd let that go.
I would never tell them the truth. Never, never in a million years.
I mean, my parents don't need to know that. You're a grown up. You pay your own taxes.
Yeah.
Or maybe you will when you're working again. But,
I do.
Okay. Right.
And I have a new job now, so it's all good. So we're fine. They don't need to know.
Right. Nope. You haven't threatened your boss there, have you?
Not yet. We'll see.
See, you've come a long way. Look at you.
Everybody's watching the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial, but is there something we're all missing? According to Dr. Patrick Wanis, yes. Dr. Patrick Wanis is a relationship expert, behavior expert. You can find him online at patrickwanis.com. What are we missing?
Everyone's talking about the fact, is he to blame? Is she to blame? Is he the victim? Is she the victim? And everyone misses the most important lesson for each and every one of us. They bring out the worst in each other. And that's what you have to look at in your relationship or who you're dating. Look for people that bring out the best in you, not the people that trigger your issues, your insecurities, your anger, your unresolved pain. Look for people that bring out the best in you. They brought out the worst in each other. And even their relationship counselor said they are mutually abusive. And she quoted Johnny Depp saying to her, oh, Amber Heard gives it as good as she gets. That means he abuses her, she abuses him back. And this isn't just romantic. This can be business, this can be friendships, it can be colleagues. Stay away from people who bring out the worst in you.
It's interesting.
That makes sense, right? We've all got that friend that, when we go out with them, we get a little bit too crazy, right? And with a relationship, if it's just going to lead to problems, you can kind of see that coming.
Go to the people that bring out the best in you, where you feel you expand and you become more excited and you feel heard and seen and understood and validated. Don't go to the person that triggers your insecurities unless you say, oh, I'm going to use this as a lesson. Let me go to therapy for the next 10 years or whatever.
What are some red flags?
That's what happened with...
I think obviously there was an attraction and there was a love if they were married. Well, so like, what went wrong and what didn't they see that, when they were getting into that relationship?
Right. Clearly they had a hot streak for each other. No question about it. But it's destructive. Everybody on the outside can see that.
It's very simple. I wrote an article on emotional vampires, and there are five types of emotional vampires. And it comes down to one thing. When you're with this person, what do you feel? What do you sense in your body? I'm sure you've all experienced this with all different types of people. When you're with your partner, how do you feel? What happens in your body? Do you get anxious? Do you feel scared? Do you feel small? Do you feel afraid to talk? Or do you feel comfortable? Do you feel relaxed? Do you feel open? Do you feel safe to speak, to communicate, to express yourself? As soon as you see those signs where you are feeling agitation, tension in your body, you're afraid to speak, you feel small, your heart's racing, but not in a good way, walk away, get away. You're not going to change the other person. And Raven, I think you're a guru. You said this in another interview we did, which is, you know, you can't control anyone else.
You really can't.
Stop trying to change other people. Stop trying to control other people. There's only one person you can change and control. That's yourself. And even that's really challenging.
Right.
So don't try to change other people.
Dr. Patrick Wanis, find him online at patrickwanis.com. My girlfriend has texted me, Rita, and her son is a freshman in college, and he had to go to a doctor's appointment for the very first time. He didn't know that he had to have an insurance card and didn't know like what to do when he got there when they asked for it.
Yeah.
It had no idea what it was.
What, did he just run out of the office?
I don't know.
I left, Mom. I didn't have what they told me I needed to have, so I just left. I didn't know how to answer the question.
He called her and was like, I don't know what to do. And she was like, go into your wallet. It's the white card that says Aetna on the top left. But it's so funny because I remember when I was in college, we had an accident. It was actually I had a slip and slide accident. I slid into a Budweiser bottle. It was a terrible incident. I had to pull a broken beer bottle out of my leg. Yeah.
It's like Anna when she went to war. That's her big story.
Right.
That's her Purple Heart story.
But that night, I had to go to the hospital, and it was the first time I ever had to go to the hospital like by myself without my parents.
Right.
And I remember we had no idea what to do, me and my sorority sisters. Like, they were like, the other one tried to give her insurance card for me.
Good
I
idea.
Didn't have
doesn't
an
work
insurance.
That way. Like, yeah. Somebody pulling out their credit card. Like, no, I got it. It's cool.
I'll cover this one.
Yeah.
Don't you think they should teach kids in school, like, what insurance cards are, how to use your insurance when you go to the doctor, how to check in situations like that?
Well, I mean, the reason that they don't is because the system's rigged, right? That whole thing is corrupt. They don't want actually anybody to understand it. They don't even want to teach you as an adult how to understand it. No, forget that.
There's some things they should just teach in school that they don't.
Mm. Well, I would say finances, right? I mean, that's one of the biggest things. I had a teacher that they taught us all about, you know, checkbooks and coupons and rebates and all that type of stuff. But when I talk to other people about that, they're like, what?
Yeah.
Nobody ever went through that stuff with them.
Never one time.
Yeah. No, it was a social studies teacher, and it was like a thing with him, and he would do it with every single class that he had. And I still find a lot of that information beneficial to today.
I get that.
They don't expose people to that type of stuff now. And I mean, that's regular real life stuff. You have to go grocery shopping. You have to buy the stuff that you need for your car, your house, or whatever.
I like wrote a check incorrectly the other day. I could have really used that guy.
Well, I still write a great check.
Right. Right.
You know what I wish? Hayden didn't know. My 13-year-old, I told her to write a check because they had to bring $5 to school for whatever. I said, just write a check, Mom. They're on the counter.
I'll sign it.
Right. And no, she'll just sign it for me. I don't know if that's actually...
No, I wouldn't say that.
It's super illegal.
Right.
Okay, great.
And she had no idea what to do. I had to walk her through it. I was like, oh my gosh, they don't teach you how to write checks anymore.
You know what they got to do? They got to teach you how to do a job interview, how to walk into a job interview and interview for a job. I had some disasters coming out of college, man, because they didn't even teach me in college. This would have been a useful skill. And people will say like, oh, your parents should teach you that. And that's great. What if your dad is like me, a professional actor? And that's just not the way his job works whatsoever.
Whatever. What if your parents are terrible interviewees?
It's 100% true, John.
I got to say taxes. I mean, I feel like someone should have taught me how to do my taxes. I'm tired of paying someone to do it or buying a program to enter it in online. Why can't I have been taught how to do my own taxes, how to file them myself? Especially like when you're 16 and you're like, oh, now you got to start paying taxes to the state, you know, the IRS. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Even my parents were like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, you just gotta do it. I'm like, well, is anyone going to tell me how to do this? Right. You know? Somebody?
Again,
help?
That's the best part of that industry is that the mysterious part of it, right? The mystique.
And
right?
They make it sound so easy.
If your child went to a doctor's office right now, would they know how to check in by themselves and know what to do? When they had to list their medications and prior surgeries, would they have any idea? One of my friends, like, she was complaining. She's like, my son went. He's a freshman in college. He had no idea what to do. He didn't even have an insurance card on him. They should have taught him that at school.
Yeah. Important to note, though, the rules have changed. Like, when I go to a doctor's office, I don't even know if I'm doing it right at this point. I check in 3 times online, and you're telling me I still got to fill out this form and take this tablet from you, too, and you don't know whether or not I prepaid? Like, it's a mess.
What is the thing that they should have taught you in school, but they didn't? 1-800-330-9999. Hey, it's Anna Raven.
Penmanship. They don't teach penmanship anymore. They don't teach children how to sign their names, how to write in cursive. They should definitely bring that back.
It's true. It is a little bit of a lost art. I mean, I remember like cursive was something that you had to start learning in second or third grade.
Yeah.
Like they started putting it on you right away. The truth is the older I get, the less that my cursive looks like anything. Like I'm the only person that can read it, you know, most days now. And the truth is some days even I can't read it. Like if I write something and I come back to it weeks later, months later, I might not know what it says.
And on Raven, what didn't they teach you in school that they should have?
How to read healthcare benefits.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Right? Because mm-hmm. nobody understands any of that lawyer speak.
I recently graduated with my master's in social work. So I have a new job. And I remember when I had my other first, you know, job with benefits, it was so confusing. I didn't know premiums and deductible and do this and do that. It was just so confusing and so overwhelming. So
we would let you in here. Cool. We've never even met you before. We would let you in here right now and let you read our paperwork just to get through it.
Right.
I mean, we would. That's how much people hate that paperwork. You're right.
And on Raven, what should they have taught you in school?
I wish they teach the kids in today basic math. You go to a store and they can't even give you change back without a calculator.
Yeah, I mean, have you tried to work with a kid on the way that they want math done nowadays, too, though?
The new math is
not a clue.
No. Oh, it's terrible.
But if you give them a $20 bill and 17 cents in change, you screwed up their whole day.
Annie and Raven, what don't they teach in school that they really should have?
For me, I got to tell you, what the first thing that they should have taught me was, honestly, how to go about filling out proper forms when I actually go anywhere.
Mm. So
they don't tell you what to bring. They don't tell you how to actually apply with anything, like for anything. You know, you want to get a car. I don't know how to get a car. I had to go through the whole thing with my mother. Meanwhile, she's berating me the entire time because I didn't know how to fill out the forms the right way with the right information.
I make the mistake of, I start writing my first name right away. And half the time it says last name first. Oh, that's the worst. Then you got to scribble that out. You feel like a third grader all over again.
What a rookie mistake.
No. You're right. Fix a form, right?
And on Raven, what should they have taught you at school that they didn't?
Hey, what they should have taught us was the rule of 72.
Mm.
Are you guys familiar with that?
No.
No.
Teach
What's
me.
The rule of 72?
Yeah, rule 72 states if you take the interest rate divided by 72, it lets you know how fast your money will double. That means you want to get ahead of 6% on your money because inflation and taxes are like 4% and 2%. So if we're getting only 6%, we're not getting value on our money over time.
I know why they didn't teach it to us in school, because by the time you got to saying 6% the first time, I fell asleep.
And my eyes were wandering off. I didn't know what was happening.
You almost
anymore.
Fell out of your chair.
I didn't know. Yeah.
Are you all right?
Okay.
Do you have vertigo?
What number am I supposed to divide by?
It's time for Mommy's Margarita Friday.
Come to Mama.
Anna and Raven.
Mama's Margarita Friday. Can't wait to get that cocktail on a holiday weekend, too. Doesn't matter if your children have four legs and are furry or two legs and are human. It's not easy being in charge of anything. And that's why this is your chance to get it all off your chest. 1-800-330-9999. What did you do this week to earn your margarita?
So I earned my margarita when my 17-year-old took the car without asking. There'd been some cars stolen in the neighborhood. I just called the police because I thought that was the case. And he got home half an hour later, and I was humiliated. So I earned my margarita.
I wonder if that happens a lot with police officers, that they get the call that the car's been stolen, and they found out, no, it's just a teenager taking it.
Well, it's not like, you know, crime shows. They don't go out looking for stolen cars.
They don't?
No, of course not.
What?
I've had a car stolen myself. They wait for it to turn up.
Really?
So, yeah, unless it's involved in a crime or out there, you know, like busting the laws right at that moment, unless that person is speeding through an intersection directly in front of a police officer, the chances are that they're not going to find that car until somebody parks it somewhere or crashes it.
In my mind, they're just like out there. They're patrolling anywhere. Yeah. They're just going to look for my car.
No, I mean, they're patrolling. If there's a bulletin that goes out with a description of your car in a crime, that's one thing. But you own a car that looks like, you know, let's face it, 10-20% of the rest of the population, they see that car all over the place. It's not like they're out dusting for prints when they find your car either, by the way. They just go, here it is. It's been towed to this lot, and then you pick it up, and your transmission goes about 10 days later.
All right, well, here's the good news. You've earned your margarita. Enjoy it. Santa and Raven, what did you do this week to earn your margarita?
I caught my son eating 2 sticks of butter out of the fridge like it was ice cream.
Wait a minute. What?
Kids love butter. They love butter.
That's disgusting.
He did not have to go to the hospital, fortunately. But yeah, he was on the second one. There was a wrapper on the floor of the first. And I was like, what are you doing?
Wait a minute.
And he was like, it's yummy. Mm-hmm.
Make me understand this now. So, because I didn't know, because I've never been in danger of overdosing on butter.
Right.
But at a certain amount of butter, you have to go to the hospital?
Right. Is that true? Because I should have probably taken my toddler, too.
I don't know. I felt like I should have. It was not delightful in the bathroom by any means. But yeah, it's a lot of butter. That's a lot of butter. I don't know if a system can handle that much just like without anything else underneath it. That was breakfast for him.
I'm relatively certain Paula Deen made an entire cookbook and every single recipe had 4 sticks of butter. So I think it's fine.
Made a family fortune out of it.
Yeah. But Dakota, my little one, when we go to the restaurants and they have the butter packets, you got to keep one eye on her the whole time glued, because the minute you're not looking, she pops that thing in her mouth like a Tic Tac.
Thinks it's candies.
Oh, gosh. She loves pads of butter.
Jolly Ranchers and butter flavor.
Santa and Raven, what'd you do this week to earn your margarita?
My dogs, all 3 of them got fleas and I had to take care of them this entire week. So that's what I did.
Oh, baths. Then you got to clean the furniture.
How do you know if your dog has fleas?
Oh, you'll know. You'll see them jumping off.
You'll know.
Oh!
You'll see them all over. They're jumping. They're itching. You start itching. You're on your couch. They're literally, they infest everywhere. It's a full-time job.
Yeah. You got to get it early on or else you're in trouble. Yeah. It's a big deal. Good luck, Mama. That's a big job.
Yeah. Enjoy that margarita.
Thank you.
Saturday Night Live. It's one of the hottest tickets in New York City. And you can't just buy them. You have to either get them somehow or you have to wait in that dreaded standby line. Well, Jill Goucher and Amanda Scott, they have 100% success rate in getting seats to see Saturday Night Live. In over 50 shows each, how do you do this?
So we do what you said, the dreaded standby line. We have done it all 61 times, and all 61 times that is how we have gotten in and gotten tickets.
Now, I remember how this used to be, the standby line downtown, Anna, when I would be, you know, out DJing at the clubs and whatnot. The standby line meant that you knew a bouncer or you were supposedly maybe dating a bartender or something like that. So which one of you is hanging out with Michael Shea? Because how is it you're getting in the whole time?
Yeah, no, I wish that was true, because then maybe we wouldn't have to do the standby line. A lot more people get in from it than you would expect.
You sleep on the New York City sidewalk to get in. How far in advance do you have to start lining up to be able to see these shows?
This year it's changed a little bit. You can't line up until 6 p.m. on Friday, so it's about a 12, 13-hour wait. Previously, before that, it used to be whenever you get there. I mean, the line started when the first person got there. Sometimes it was 2 nights. Sometimes it was 3 nights. One time it was a week.
Oh, my gosh. Who did you wait a week for?
It was BTS, and it was because their fans are very, very hardcore. And we said, if they're getting in, we're getting in. So,
wow.
So, it became a thing.
I have logistic questions. All right. So you line up. Now you have to wait 12, 13 hours. You line up the day before, Friday, you know, Friday, whatever. You said 6 o'clock at night on Friday?
Yeah.
Now, what do you bring? Like, what if you have to go to the bathroom? Do you bring a bucket?
You're definitely allowed to get out of line to go to the bathroom or go get food, things like that. Random bathrooms at hotels in Times Square or restaurants.
I like to go glamping with my man friends. We bring a generator, a movie screen, cots, air mattresses, huge instant tents. What do you guys use typically?
We have cots. We have sleeping bags. We have tarps, chairs. We have little fold-out tables.
What if it's a crappy show? You waited all that time, and then it's a terrible musical guest or something. Has that ever happened when you were like, nah, that wasn't worth it last night?
We do it, like, for the cast members and, like, the show itself. So for us, it's rare that we don't have a good time. Ultimately, it's all kind of worth it.
I have one last question. So you line up on Friday night. You spend the night in your sleeping bags. You have to make sure that you go potty before 11 p.m. Otherwise, you have to hold it till 6 o'clock in the morning. I got it. So now, when you wake up, that's when they tell you who made it in and who doesn't. So you can, when do they actually pre-record and you're staying there now? Or do you get to go home and shower and come back and you have like a magic
right.
ticket?
Comes down to the outfit and the stink factor, right? Are you going right in there?
Unfortunately, you don't know in the morning, and you actually don't even know until your butt is in a seat in the studio right about 5 minutes before it's starting. These are just for standby tickets. These are not even guaranteed seats. So what you're waiting 12 hours for is a maybe chance to see the show.
Wow. That's a lot of rolling the dice.
I love that your chief concern was just making sure that you get a shower before you run into Colin Jost.
Yeah.
I love that.
I mean, if it's like,
what if he likes me?
I mean, what if he looks over and he's like, wait a minute.
Oh my gosh, there's the one.
Did Anna Zapp, why is her hair so greasy? Because I slept on the New York City sidewalk.
Unfortunately, they do know about it. The cast members walk out at night and they see us all sleeping on the street, which is not our favorite thing, but.
All right. And I know you guys started a podcast about this too. If you people want to read more and learn more about you guys, where do they go?
You just go to snlstandbymind.com. That's our website. You can find all of our social media and stuff like that on the website. That's where we exist. We actually are produced by Kenan Thompson. So, yeah, you should check us out.
Well, that's cool.
If you want to learn how to get tickets and do this.
That's cool.
That is cool.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then you just decide who's right. Christy and Joe. Christy, what's going on?
Hi. So my husband Joe and I, we've got three kids. We've got a 16-year-old, a 12-year-old, and a 5-year-old. And we both work full time. So it's a challenge, but we're lucky that our 16-year-old, she's willing to, when she comes home from school, to watch the other kids and, you know, get dinner started and all that. But we just recently sat her down and we talked to her and we said, listen, you need to get a job. We want to teach you responsibility. We want to teach you how to save your money, all that. She says, well, how can I do that? Because you always having me watch Sam and Jennifer. I don't know what we would do without her. So she says, well, why don't you just pay me? You know what? That's really smart. I like that. So I talked to Joe and he is completely against it. And I don't understand. We could still teach her how to manage her money and how to be responsible. Even if we're the ones that are paying her, it's still a job, you know?
Yeah.
So she can understand that whole thing.
Joe, why? Why wouldn't you? If she is really helping out and watching the kids and basically relieving you of having to pay a babysitter to do it, why wouldn't you compensate her?
It's not a job, okay? It's not a job. It's a blurry line that is not going to teach her responsibility. It's just going to create more weirdness and confusion and probably resentment within the family because she's part of this family. She's not a paid employee. You know, we all like. My wife and I take care of the kids. We do what needs to be done to keep our family going. And we expect the same thing of our daughter and all of our kids. Eventually, she'll be able to get a job where she has to be on time. She's accountable to someone else, you know, a third party, like, you know, someone who's, it's just too weird when it's her parents. It's not like a real job. And I think paying her as if it's a real job is going to lead to a slippery slope where she's expecting more than she actually deserves, because really, as a member of this family, she should be pitching in and pulling, you know, like as the oldest kid, it's her responsibility as a family member to watch her siblings sometimes. That's it.
I don't know. I honestly don't think that things just get easier for the youngest because that's the way it worked out for your guys' plan and the way that the schedule works per day. I understand what you're saying. She lives there. She shouldn't have to be paid or compensated to carry her weight in there. But on the other hand, she has a job. She's a student. She's 16. And I'm sure you want good things for her. You don't want her to just be your nanny the rest of your life. To get into college is hard work. The fact that you guys came to her and told her to get a job on top of that seems like kind of a lot.
Well, for a summer job. I mean, I could understand getting some responsibility. 16, you should have a summer job.
It sounds like she is responsible. Well, she's watching the kids.
Yeah, but you should have a summer job. You should start learning what it's like to work at some point. But the bigger issue I have, which is why I think I agree with Christy, is that if she is watching the kids so much on the regular that she doesn't have the hours, well, then, right, she should be compensated.
Right. I mean, think about it. If you're an employer, there's no way you can hire somebody like that. It's always a problem for them. I mean, if you're watching kids and helping to start dinner, even if you're not completing it, you're working harder than most part-time jobs already. I don't know.
Let's see what the audience has to say. They may agree with you, Christy. Pay your 16-year-old daughter to watch her brother and sister. Like, she deserves it. She works hard. That is her job. But they may see Joe's side, too. Nope, she's a big sister. Maybe she doesn't need to go out and, you know, get a job at a fast food restaurant for the summer, but she needs to watch her brother and sister for free because that's what siblings do.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
As a mom that has an older daughter who watches my younger daughter, my kids are 10 years apart. So Hayden watches Dakota a lot.
Mm-hmm.
She's never asked to be paid. And I don't think I would pay her. But if she wanted to go get a job and she decided, like, I can't do it because I'm watching my little sister too much, I think then, yes, it warrants pay. But that's not exactly what Joe says. Joe and Christy are in the same situation. Their 16-year-old daughter watches their 12-year-old and their 5-year-old a lot. And she wants to be paid to do it. But Joe doesn't think that you pay older siblings.
Well, it's deeper than that. They went to her and told her she needed to get a job on top of that. Can you imagine? You're 16 years old. You're going to school. I mean, I got to be honest with you. Christy and Joe, it's upsetting to me that both of them would not have said to themselves, like, this is too much. You know, she's not an adult. She's still going to school, watching the siblings. I get it. The world is expensive. Both parents are working full time. But the fact is, the sacrifice should be one of theirs and not their daughter's.
But what do you think? Do you think that you would pay your older child to watch your younger children? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court, whose side are you on?
Definitely the wife's side. Definitely. The husband's expecting too much from a young girl to get a job, watch the kids, and go to school. Too much for a 16-year-old kid.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a team, I get that we're a team and we're all, you know, in this together, but don't load her up like a burro. She's not a donkey. You know what I mean? Like, she has her own responsibilities and her own life.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Joe and Christy have three kids, 16 years old, 12, and 5. Now, their oldest daughter, who's 16, spends a lot of time watching her younger siblings. But Joe and Christy said she should get a summer job. She says she can't because she's always watching the kids, and she wants to get paid to watch her younger siblings.
I mean, imagine Monday through Friday, you're 16 years old. You're having to deal with school, which, even though it's going to be summer break, not only are you watching the kids, you're getting dinner started, too. How are you supposed to work around that?
Christy says, let's just pay her. I mean, she works hard and she watches the kids. Why not? Joe says, no, she's a sibling. She's the oldest. That's what families do. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court, whose side are you on?
Hi, good morning. I'm on the wife's side. I think that you have a daughter who's willing and able to watch her siblings and is very responsible, that she can learn about money and saving with her family. She doesn't need to do that with a stranger, and they're lucky to have that.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on her side. Honestly, you know, I have very strong feelings on the subject. She is the older child, right? Like, she has to pull some weight. There's a little bit of responsibility that comes with that. But also, she, you know, didn't decide to be a parent. That wasn't her choice to have younger siblings. And I think that the expectation can be there for her to help, but she should also be compensated for that.
And on Raven, whose side are you on?
Hey, I'm on the wife's side. I think it was the parents' decision to have more kids, and that responsibility of taking care of them definitely shouldn't involve their oldest daughter, who is probably working on school.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Christy, our audience agreed with you today. You have to at least give her spending money from the summer if she's going to be so committed to watching the kids while you guys work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Sam, you know, who's our 12-year-old, eventually, you know, in a year or two, he can watch Jennifer and Shannon can go and get the job that, you know, whatever job she wants. You know, I think it's just a temporary solution. And I think it makes sense.
All right. I mean, we it shouldn't be like wages, though, for the job. It should just be, you know, a sort of like token of thanks for helping us. I mean, it's not a real job.
Right. I'll give you three tokens. You can trade them in for a meal this weekend. I don't know, man. I'm sorry, Joe.
You got a problem too, send an email. couplescore@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Can't beat Raven cash jackpot is $400 thanks to DoorDash. With DoorDash, you can order it all. Use the app or shop online at DoorDash.com with promo code ORDER22 for 50% off your first order. Get more from your neighborhood with DoorDash. Okay, Michael, you ready to play?
Yes, I am.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, could you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Mike.
Okay. So Raven's walking out of here. When that door closes, he can't hear us. It's a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you five pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I bring them back in, ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins, ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Yes.
Number one, Grace and Frankie is being canceled and will not return for an 8th season. On what streaming platform can you watch Grace and Frankie?
Netflix.
Number two, Carrie Underwood posted a tribute to the TV show that made her famous 17 years ago. What reality singing competition was that?
American Idol.
Samuel L. Jackson has joined the cast with Chris Pratt in the upcoming Garfield animated movie. What's Garfield's favorite food?
Lasagna.
Number four, Kendall Jenner recently called out Scott Disick for victimizing herself and villainizing everyone else. What vegetable was Kendall Jenner recently blasted on social media for not knowing how to cut?
Asparagus.
Number five, Top Gun Maverick out now. Maverick is his nickname, but what is Tom Cruise's character's name?
Oh, boy. I'm drawing a blank on it.
All right. That's time. I'm going to bring Raven back in. That's all right. You were doing so great.
Yo.
So Michael got 3 out of 5.
Pretty good, Mike. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Grace and Frankie is being canceled and will not return for an 8th season. On what streaming platform can you watch Grace and Frankie?
It's Netflix, right?
Yes. Number two, Carrie Underwood posted a tribute to the TV show that made her famous 17 years ago. What singing reality competition was that?
It's easy, American Idol.
Yes. Number three, Samuel L. Jackson has joined the cast with Chris Pratt in the upcoming Garfield animated movie. What's Garfield's favorite food?
He likes lasagna.
Yes. Number four, Kendall Jenner recently called out Scott Disick for victimizing himself and villainizing everyone else. What vegetable was Kendall Jenner recently blasted on social media because she didn't know how to cut it?
What is she doing with that cucumber?
Cucumber, yes. Number five, Top Gun Maverick out now. Maverick is his nickname, but what is Tom Cruise's character's name?
He's Pete Mitchell.
Yes.
It's not his nickname. It's his call sign.
Oh, I'm sorry.
His nickname.
Did you go see it last night?
Yes.
Did you?
And it's good.
Oh, you dork.
It is good.
You dork. I knew you would.
I could tell you guys everything about it right now if you want, but it's good.
All right.
Nice, good Raven.
Raven beat you 5-3, Michael. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
This is Michael, and I can't be Raven this time.
Hold on.
Better luck next time, man. Enjoy that shirt. $500, Anna.
Yeah, we're going to give Raven some time off. Like, if brain needs a rest after that big win this past Monday with 7,900. So when we come back on June 6th, it'll be $500. But all next week, it's the week you could beat Raven. We're going to be replaying our favorite times that Raven went down. And thank you to Olivia. She submitted that Top Gun question. If you have an idea for a question, too, you can submit yours at annaandraven.com.